This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, hour number two on a pretty busy football Friday. Tiki and Tierney, company from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family. Well, certainly Rocket can. What's happening? Hope all is well. Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Sharp Tierney, Hour 3. Tiki and Tierney, Whip Around, Hour 3. As well as we bounce around. Nice win by Seattle, kind of stabilized things for a bit. Kyler Murray's injury, we hit that. We'll have to see how serious it is. He looked a little compromised to me, that's for sure. Didn't run, obviously trying to protect that, which is probably smart at this juncture. And a lot of stuff on the whole Jameis Winston and New Orleans Saints situation, which Sean Payton came out today and he basically, not refuted, but he, I think, tried to, what's the word here, T?
Downplay. Downplay the
report. Yeah, I guess you could go downplay.
Yeah, there's not a better word for it.
No, there's not. There's not a better quarterback this year than Kyle Trask, with the exception, and you'd have to prorate this, he hasn't played as many games, Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
But what Kyle, and obviously Trevor Lawrence hasn't played for a few games here, what Kyle Trask is doing. Now, this came up about 3 weeks ago, and if it wasn't three, it was two. But it's certainly before this latest, the comparisons to what Joe Burrow was doing at this point. Now everybody's all in on Kyle Trask. If you listen to this show, I told you at least 2 weeks ago, Kyle Trask is a first-round pick. And that is obviously...
I'm not so sure I agree with that, okay, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, we'll see. And we're starting to get to a point now where the love is not coming in like it was coming in for Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And the one reason is that Florida right now is not among the four... Well,
they lost to Texas A&M, that's why.
Exactly. But I'm also trying to remember in my own mind, like, at what point did the Joe Burrow hype machine truly start?
When they beat Auburn, that was a big deal. It was a rough game, and Auburn got after them. I mean, it was a game they should have lost, and they didn't because they were so resilient. Now, obviously it was Joe Burrow, but it was also their receiving core, which is last year was one of the best in college football. I mean, people give hype to Alabama and their receiving core, but last year LSU's was better, and even at tight end, Randy Moss's kid was stellar. I haven't heard his name, by the way. I know he's in the league, but I haven't heard his name this year. I wonder if he's even playing. Sam, do you have to look that up? Randy Moss's kid. But they had a stout team. I mean, they lost BT six guys, I think, in the first round. Maybe it was five or six guys in the first round. Their team was great last year. So when they beat Auburn, that's when people started saying, hey, this Joe Burrow kid, you know, he might have something. I think the reason Kyle Trask isn't getting that same kind of love is twofold. One, it's a pandemic year. Actually, more importantly, it's what I already said. They lost to Texas A&M in a game they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's a pandemic year, so things just feel all disjointed. And like you know, how many kids are actually playing for the opponent you're taking on? But Kyle Trask is having a year that is on par with what Joe Burrow did statistically. Now, the problem is that he could win the Heisman because of the statistics, but I don't know if he's not going to get elevated the same way that Joe Burrow did.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joe Burrow did it in such a spectacular fashion and was undefeated and beat Alabama in Alabama and then went and won a national championship. So I don't see that future for Kyle Trask, even though he is – he's in my mind, he's the leader for the Heisman Trophy this year.
Well, let me hit you with some numbers because evidently people in the desert are agreeing with you on that, as am I. Mm-hmm. So Trask opened the offseason 60-1 odds to win the Heisman at Westgate.
Can you imagine 60? No. You're taking that.
Even Sharp Tierney wasn't sniffing that one. By early August, he had been bet down to 25-1. All right.
Oh, that's a big drop for
big
just
drop.
A couple of games. Not even a couple of games, right?
No, by early August. Before
August, before they even play a game yet.
Well, keep in mind now, Justin Fields at that point, we're thinking there's no Big Ten season.
I got you.
So there's certain, okay. Bet down to 25-1. Since then, the odds have crashed each week as Trask's statistical performance and national profile have improved. Less than a month ago, however, he could still be had at 18-1, then 7-1. And now after his 6-touchdown game against Arkansas, the value is all but gone. He's plus 260 at BetMGM, tied with Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields for a second favorite behind Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who was 2-1. And, you know, the Heisman is separate than and independent of, you know, pro prospects. I mean, Charlie Ward. We know so many of the Heisman players.
Tim Tebow. I mean, there's plenty of them.
Yep.
What was the kid from Oklahoma?
Detmer from BYU, even though he played.
There was a kid from Oklahoma he was great in college. I don't even know if he ever made it.
White?
Yeah.
Jason White. Yeah, White guy. Yep. Yes, that might be one.
I don't even remember where he was drafted.
Ken Dorsey didn't win the high. Like, that was around the same time-ish.
Yeah.
Dorsey was, I believe, a 7th-round pick. And Sam Thicker-Check. I don't believe that White was drafted unless they asked him to change position. I don't believe he was drafted as a quarterback. If I have the story lined properly, I feel like I read an article a couple of years ago about White, who opened a fairly successful sporting goods store.
Interesting.
And had didn't play football at all.
Yeah.
I really don't think he was drafted.
No.
But again, aside from the Heisman,
yeah,
Trask makes NFL throws. And he's not Joe Burrow. He's not going to be Joe Burrow. He is not Joe Burrow. But he is a really interesting figure. You want to tell me that, you know, there's a few other quarterbacks. And again, we don't need to really get into the weeds of if he's a first-round pick, because we'll eventually get the answer. We'll know. But, you know, two of the other prominently discussed future NFL quarterbacks, I mean, they're coming with, you know, one played one showcase game, one's playing a week schedule. I mean, Kyle Trask is lighting up the SEC.
Yeah, I know.
Lighting it up.
Look, and he's going to continue to light it up, BT.
That's
because
right.
Vanderbilt, who they're going to destroy, like utterly destroy.
Oh, the
other these other teams can keep up with Florida a little bit because Florida's defense is a little bit compromised. These other teams can keep up with them a little bit. They're going to destroy Vanderbilt. Then he plays Kentucky, Tennessee.
Kentucky's pretty good defense.
They have really good defense. That'll be the one challenge. Tennessee, who's a turnover machine.
They're a mess.
Maybe they get themselves right by the end of the season. I don't know. And then LSU, who, I mean, this might be the worst post-national championship team we've seen in a really long time.
You know,
BT.
I never even thought about something like that.
They just lost too many people.
No, I know.
You mean about what I just said?
No, you might be right. I've never looked at it in that term, but yeah. You think about the defending champs.
Yeah.
That's it. We got
to
look
that up, too. Not to go on a tangent, but this is why Dabo Sweeney and Nick Saban and even Urban Meyer and now Ryan Day, is why they're so great, because they are competing for the national championship every year, and they lose just as many guys as LSU does to the NFL every single year, yet they have great years after they win national championships or in a competition for the national championship. And Ed Orgeron is giving him all the credit in the world, the contract extension that he got. It was all well-deserved. But there's a difference between what Ed Orgeron did in a year and two and what Nick Saban has been doing for decades and what Dabo was doing and what, Ohio State is doing. It's just really hard.
It really is.
By the way, you are right. Jason White now owns the White Company, which offers a few different sports memorabilia and apparel stores.
Yeah, I thought so. He was not drafted, was he?
No, I don't think so.
I don't even know if we have to research that. Yeah. I'd be stunned if he was. So we gave you some of the Heisman numbers. Let me give you some of the numbers, comparatively speaking, through six games, Kyle Trask 2020 and Joe Burrow 2019. Because many people, and they're not wrong, pretty much everybody says Joe Burrow had the greatest season in the history of quarterback play ever in NCAA play last year. And I saw this on CBS Sports HQ. They tweeted this earlier today, and I sent it to you guys. So, let's see. Through six games, Burrow, 2,157 yards, Kyle Trask has a few more, 2,171 yards.
Nice.
All right. The touchdown-to-pick ratio, 28 touchdowns to 3 picks for Trask, 25 touchdowns to 3 picks for Burrow. Same amount of picks, 3 fewer touchdowns for Burrow. And the NFL pass rating, Burrow had him by about 10 or so. 147.9 for Burrow, 137.1 for Kyle Trask.
Yeah.
That really is amazing.
It is.
Joe Burrow was unstoppable.
He was. But Joe Burrow has the advantage that Kyle Trask doesn't. Because, I mean, maybe they mess around and beat Alabama in the SEC championship. I'd love to see it. It would be disruptive to what's going on in college football, which is the kind of season that we would need. And then they get to the college football playoff. But it's absent that, he's not getting to the college football playoff Joe Burrow, who, you know, undefeated season, Heisman Trophy, best player by far in college football, and then win a national championship. I mean, that's the trifecta. That's just, it's hard to match. Now, does that mean that Kyle Trask doesn't deserve the Heisman? Of course it doesn't. And in fact, I think in some ways, I don't know if Ohio State's going to end up finishing their whole season simply because of what's going on in the Big Ten right now with some of these teams that are having issues. And Justin Fields is great. We know that he is. He's thrown as many touchdowns as he's thrown incompletions.
I know.
Which is nuts. It's a crazy stat. 11 touchdowns, 11 incompletions.
Yeah.
Which is either he's great or the competition is pathetic. And I think it's a little bit of both. But he's still really good. But I mean, I see Kyle Trask having pushed through this, and it'll all depend, I think, on how he plays against Alabama. Should he, you know, stay the course and they beat the teams that they have in front of them, Vanderbilt and Tennessee and Kentucky and LSU, and beat Alabama or play well against Alabama in the SEC championship game, I think it's the Heisman Trophy is his. Mm-hmm. And then what happens after that is going to be dependent upon how he tests and how he really looks. He's immobile. He's not as mobile as Joe Burrow was. Mm-hmm. His scheme is heavily designed to benefit his skill set, which is reading and reacting. But he's not a mobile quarterback, which hurts him a little bit. Come towards the NFL. But
by the way, I'm not saying a high first round pick.
It's perfectly fine in college.
I'm not saying like top 10, top 15. You know, mid 20s, early 20s, whatever. We'll see. So I go to Burrow's game blog, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why it's going to be tough, even though he is surpassed in two of the three categories so far, where Joe Burrow was 6 games in. I mean, I went to Joe Burrow's 7th game and on. I'm looking at his game log from last year.
Yeah, this is when it got tight.
So he's got a game, 4 touchdowns, 5, 4, 7, 5. Listen to some of these yardage totals, though. 489.
Wow.
493. 463, and I'm like overlooking the 370s. Like, that seems menial at this point. Not going to waste our time on that. So, no, Trask is not going to. Plus, he won't play as many games. He's not going to replicate Burrow. But
nor does he have Justin Jefferson.
That's true.
Or Terrace Marshall, or what's he? I forget the other kid's name.
By the way, Justin Jefferson, when you and I were doing that pick, that was my favorite wide receiver pick of the first round.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson is the best rookie receiver.
Oh, no doubt.
He's better than Judy, better than Ruggs, better than all these guys. Yeah, he is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been consistent. Some of these other guys have had flashes.
Yeah.
He's consistent every single game. Oh, Terrace Marshall's the other kid. So these kids have – he had a great receiving group as well, Joe Burrow did. And so he used – it was a perfect storm, man, for LSU last year to do what they did and for Joe Burrow to do what they did.
Yep.
Now, Kyle Trask doesn't quite have that. Kyle Pitts is his best target. Now, he's a tight end, but he's more like a wide receiver. He's banged up, so he's not playing this weekend. Not that it's going to matter against Vanderbilt. But Kyle Pitts is probably going to be the top tight end drafted this year. He's a top 10 pick, likely. This other kid, Kadarius Toney, who's a 6-foot wide receiver. He's a blazer. Not a great route runner, but when he gets the ball in his hands, the kid is a difference maker. So when you have two options like that and you can score at will and you have a smart quarterback who can read defenses and find the advantages, in the secondary, you're gonna put up huge numbers. So Kyle Trask is going to put up huge numbers, and he's probably going to win the Heisman Trophy mainly because of those numbers. But I think, again, I'll say it again, it comes down to how he plays against Alabama in the SEC championship game, assuming that they both go there.
And what's amazing, too, is that generally Heisman campaigns, not always, but generally the seeds are planted the previous season.
Yeah. Well, it's changed so much, BT, though.
No, it definitely has, right?
It's
for
become
sure,
a stat thing. I was reading an article about Ian Book and how in a typical, like an old school Jason White era, 2005 era, it was less about the stats and more about, are you leading your team to an epic season relative to your team?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Ian Book is doing right now for Notre Dame. Yes, his numbers aren't even going to get close to Kyle Trask, who's going to throw 45 touchdowns on the season, or Justin Fields, who's not even going to play, you know, 10 games, but he's still likely to throw, you know, 40, 35 or 40 touchdowns. So he can't compare with the numbers because he's not that kind of quarterback. But his leadership is something that you can't discount. And it used to be looked at as a big part of why you win the Heisman Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
The character and the what you mean to your team and, you know, the stages that you went on. And
like a Doug Flutie. It's
yeah,
a good example.
Exactly. And now it's all numbers. It's all numbers based. And it's frustrating in a sense because numbers can be inflated. But leadership can't be denied. And I think Ian Book has that, but he's not going to be in the conversation.
Although, to be fair, let's not completely revise history. 1989, Andre Ware.
Yeah,
I mean, that
true.
Was numbers driven.
Yeah, but remember,
Detmer at BYU was primarily numbers driven.
But remember, Andre Ware and Detmer to an extent, it was seeing something so new. What they were doing with Andre Ware down in Houston, what are we watching right now?
Yeah, it was like, crazy. Same with Klingler.
Yeah, it was like, what is this, man? This isn't college football. This is like some bizarro college football going on right now.
Oh, my God. Ahead of their time. Really? Yeah. Where did I see it? I saw something on Klingler just the other day, ironically. Mm-hmm. Whomever, I don't know if it was on NFL Network, whatever it was, but whomever was actually having the discussion about what was on film, somebody posed the question like, you know, if Klingler was playing today with
more
acceptance of that style.
There's no
one,
doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about
now,
it.
He was. I think Klingler was sixth overall. He was drafted high, so it didn't adversely affect his draft stock.
Yep.
But in terms of they drafted him with one skill set, and then they tried to wedge him in. Hey, no, this is the NFL.
Yeah.
We need to modify.
You
got to
do
things.
This.
We can't
learn how to be a drop back passer. Take five steps and then take seven and then
exactly.
hold the ball and read.
They would have done that. They would have let him. They would have drafted him like the Cardinals did with Kyler Murray. This is who we're drafting, and this is who he is.
It's called hubris of offensive coordinators back then.
Yeah, hubris. Arrogance for sure. Hubris,
no doubt.
I hear you. Or lack of intelligence?
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I can
You're
fix him.
You're saying arrogance. I'm saying stupidness.
I can fix him. I can make him better. No, you can't. Just let him do what he does, man.
Exactly. All right, coming up, Penn State. Penn State is certainly not going to be spoken about on this show for anything they're doing on the field this year, unless we're just recounting perplexingly ugly losses, which then they would be on the show a lot.
Yeah.
But some other stuff off the field, and based on their somewhat recent history, we need to have a conversation, which we will next, right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and rental and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. The Warriors are, let's say, aggressively trying to fill the void left by the unfortunate injury to Klay Thompson's Achilles. But yet they're getting crushed by it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that next segment. I wonder why people are so lukewarm on what the Warriors are doing from a money point of view. So we'll get to that. Hour three, Titans-Ravens coming up on Sunday. We'll really profile that. Lamar or Tannehill at this juncture. Don't answer it now, but for this game and for the Lamar or Tannehill, it seems like a crazy question.
Yeah.
But can you make a case that it's not Lamar? Mm-hmm. And Harbaugh's quote, this was old school. It was not anything you really hear about especially somebody who won the MVP. John Harbaugh, basically what he said to his quarterback was really interesting. So we'll get to that. Sharp Tierney, third hour. Right now, let's get to Penn State. All right. So, I mean, Penn State's got some issues here.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, there's a report, a former player said that, you know, James Franklin basically told him, don't go to the cops. There was an incident, said, don't go to the cops. Now there's other situations, allegations that there were harassments with players and coaches. And, you know, I mean, listen, when you have a group of how many actually have scholarship now? What's the new number? for the NCAA? Do you know off the top of your head?
I
don't
know.
Used to be like 100 kids would be.
I want to say it's 70-something.
70-something?
Maybe it's 80, close to 80.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. There's like 110 guys on, especially the big programs like Penn State. There's 110 guys on the team back in the day, yeah.
So let's use 80 as a round number. And we're working with 80 young men who are between the ages of 18 and 22 from all sorts of backgrounds, also economic backgrounds, ethnic background, obviously a different ethnic backgrounds, mm-hmm. different temperaments, different styles, different interests, etc. You know, you throw, and then, now I know that they're not, it's not a normal college scene now, but you throw in a college campus as your oyster, in essence, when you're a player at one of these big schools, things will unfortunately eventually go awry in some spots. The cover-up is almost always worse than the crime. It just seems, for whatever reason, and I'm not saying that it's a crime per se, but whatever has permeated this program, I don't know that they're learning their lesson from what transpired in terms of transparency.
Yeah, no, transparency is everything. And just to give clarity on what's going on, there was a defensive back, his name was Isaiah Humphreys, and there was an allegation that happened between him and Micah Parsons, who we all know because he opted out of the season for Penn State, and he's likely to be a top 10 draft pick in the NFL draft next year. He's a linebacker, and he's a stud. Apparently, there was a fight, there was an altercation, and I'm assuming that Parsons pulled the knife on Isaiah Humphreys. And according to a report, there was no determination made by the Penn State police. I forget what the name is. I used to know because obviously the Sandusky stuff, they were always in the news, the Penn State police.
I think it's just State College Police.
Yeah,
they had their own police department on
exactly.
campus.
They didn't make a determination about the allegation, but according to the report, but they did release some of these interviews, Humphreys got asked to go to James Franklin's car, and he basically said, quote, this is the quote that comes out of this report, "Don't talk to the police because Micah is a starter and he's gonna make money. So if he gets in trouble, he's gone." Basically alluding to that if he's gone, then you're gone too. Now, Isaiah Humphreys sued the school on a Title IX inquiry, as part of a Title IX inquiry, and now he's transferred to Cal. But in that inquiry, he also talked about the sexual abuse, harassment by players, you know, like basically old school hazing that was going on. And now, look, I don't want to, because this is all alleged. I don't want to, you know, indict James Franklin for something that may not have actually happened.
For
but
sure.
From a head coaching standpoint, in 2020, I mean, forget that, in 2010, 10 years ago, it's your job to stand up and say, this stuff, you know, you obviously use a different word, is not happening in our program. If you are still letting kids haze younger freshmen or whatever it may be, you've got your head in the sand and you're looking backwards, you know, two decades. That cannot exist in football programs anymore. Now, to an extent, you got to get your guys that, you know, get taped to the goalposts or do whatever. But the things that go, that cross a personal line, that's something that James Franklin, if true, absolutely has to be held responsible for, and to be honest with you, he needs to be fired. Now, I don't think that that's going to get to this because I don't think they have proof on it, but it's concerning for a guy who is falling on the wrong side of favorability up at State College.
Listen, man, I don't know what the rules are anymore. I know when we would go down south to start our season, the freshman, and I had this done to me when I was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
You got the weird haircut. Remember Tim Tebow had like the monk style haircut?
Yeah.
You do that, you know, you'd have
that,
to do...
That's about all that I had at UVA.
That's when you had hair,
Yeah, I had a bad haircut, and I didn't mind because I was half bald anyways. You know, it was just like kind of a rite of passage.
No, we enjoyed it. We bonded. Right. You know, we had to do some push-ups and run around in our jock strap around campus, which, you know, was whatever. I mean, you didn't really love doing that, but you do it. Take a couple of shots of Mad Dog 2020 and you have a good night. Then you go to the bar. But I just don't understand. And this is not just specific to college. You've seen and we've read and we've known so many instances in high school where, I mean, what they do to some of these boys at football camp, seemingly mostly football, it's a sexual crime.
Yes.
It's a sexual crime. It's a sexual act. against a human being. I don't know what inspires somebody to do that. I don't know, but you're absolutely right. If James Franklin, and that's the starting point, if James Franklin knows anything about this, then James Franklin's got to pack his bag and James Franklin has to go.
Yep.
But especially on that campus,
that's
the point. Now, if this was any other school, yeah, we would bring it up for a second. But the more pressing issue is that, again, I don't know if it's true, nor do you.
Mm-mm.
But, I mean, there should be no smoke at Penn State.
Agreed.
There should be none. You should be two steps preemptively ahead of the process to avoid a repeat. Clearly, that repeat. But anything that remotely, you know, feels or smells like, you know, what Sandusky was doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't understand some kids. I don't know what inspires them to do that. I don't get it, man. That's like demonic. That is possessed. You want to have some fun? Yeah, I know you can't even like force kids to drink, and I'm not saying like even that you can't do it. I agree with that. You could die from alcohol poisoning.
Yeah,
the haircuts.
It happened locally a few times. I feel like,
you know, the haircuts, the stupid, you know, wearing something, you know, you probably can't even do that. Wearing a dress into a bar. Hey, look at our shortstop. Look at our wide receiver. That's fine.
Yeah.
At least in my book, but I don't know. The limitations have expired, and they have to get to the bottom of this quick.
Yeah, right. According to Penn State, though, the school did investigate Humphrey's allegations, but they did not comment on the results of the investigation, citing privacy concerns and ongoing litigation. So this isn't over.
No, it's not over.
By any stretch of the imagination. I think most of the principals that are involved in the Humphrey's assault have either opted out, Micah Parsons, or have transferred. So, I mean, it's and one of them was Yeter Gross-Matos,
mm-hmm.
who we talked to last year, had him on the show. Yep, he's now with the Carolina Panthers. So, this is an interesting development to keep an eye on, because again, James Franklin is on the hot seat because of how he's been coaching or how his team has been underperforming this season after being a top 15 before the season started ranked team.
Sure.
And now they haven't won a game yet. He's under fire for performance on the field. Now he's getting this, you know, and it's a couple years, about a year and a half old or so. He's getting it from a completely different angle. And the problem is, and it's unfair, but it's the reality. When you're not winning, you don't get the benefit of the doubt.
That's right. That is one thing that will always transfer from generation to generation.
That's right.
That's not changing.
Nope.
All right, T, good stuff. And we'll follow this for you for sure. This story, we're not just going to take the story and throw it in the corner of the room. We will keep an eye on this because it's obviously important. Let's get the update from CeeLo. We'll come back. Lamar Jackson, or imagine asking this question last year, even though Tannehill was balling. Hey, you know, who would you rather have this weekend, Lamar Jackson or Ryan Tannehill? You'd be laughed off the air, or you'd be laughed out of whatever conversation you're in. I don't know if the exit will be as swift next segment. We're going to actually have that discussion based on Tannehill and based on where Lamar's been so far this year. Who would you rather have this week? It's a big game. Who would you rather have? We'll get to that after CeeLo's update. Obviously, Sharp Tierney. We'll do our whip around hour three. Still a lot of football stuff to do. And Chris's update is now. Here he is. All right, Sunday, the NFL on CBS Slate features two of the AFC's best going head-to-head. We're going to get into this topic-wise coming up here on Tiki and Tierney. Is Derrick Henry and the Titans take on Lamar Jackson's Ravens, or the Steelers looking to avoid the upset against the Jags? And Steelers heavy favorites, but the Jaguars played pretty well in Lambeau last week. They lost by four. It all begins the NFL today, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The NFL is on CBS. All right, this is a very big game. It should be a fun game. It's two teams who have shown flashes for sure this year and the last couple of years. Also, two teams, when they've hit low points, it's kind of been a little confounding. Like, do we need to reassess who we think these teams are? And directly at the quarterback position here, Teague, both quarterbacks a little something to prove, including last year's defending MVP.
Yeah, no, Lamar Jackson, it's all about the evolution for him. And, you know, can he become more accurate throwing the ball outside the hashes? Because we know that Mark Andrews, his tight end, is one of the best tight ends in football because he gets a lot of those targets when the Baltimore Ravens drop back to throw the ball. But, you know, Lamar's stripes aren't going to change overnight. They're not going to just – he's not all of a sudden going to figure it out and become this great passer. The way that the Ravens are going to be successful this year and into next year, BT, is by running the football. And if teams are loading up, stop it, they got to find more creative ways to get the ball to the edges or – I don't know, maybe use Hollywood Brown a little bit differently, mm-hmm. Who's been asking to be involved differently. But we can't come into this weekend and really the rest of the season and just expect this miraculous evolution of Lamar Jackson. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so Greg Roman, who is the offensive coordinator, has a big task because teams have started to figure them out. Right, they figured out the play. You know, these more college like defenses where you rover or have a striker or rover, one of these guys that just mirrors the quarterback and stays in the box. And you know, if he does have a traditional drop back, he falls into some sort of zone blanket type of coverage. But it's gotten easier to stop those zone reads. It's why he hasn't had those explosive plays that we used to see the last couple of years.
Yeah, and it's also been a pretty uneven performance thus far for Ryan Tannehill.
Very.
The way the season began, coming off the contract, coming off a great playoff run, you know, Ryan Tannehill, first of all, it was easy to get behind Ryan Tannehill because, you know, I think most of us knew that he was in a bad situation. Listen, you didn't have to even know much about football to know that you were in a bad situation with the Dolphins before this recent renaissance here with Flores and Tua, obviously. But they were a disaster for 20 years. Multiple head coaches, multiple coordinators, multiple quarterbacks. And Ryan Tannehill, actually, when he played, was not bad.
No.
And the numbers back that up. And if you look at what Adam Gase has done with my team, I mean, Adam Gase was basically Don Shula with them. I mean, compared to Ryan. Now, Ryan Tannehill got hurt a few times, just once, twice. And they decided to obviously let him go. He did make a few bucks from them. They didn't let him go right away. They picked him, you know, first round pick back in the day. But he did make some money. And then they eventually cut him. And he wound up going for, you know, I think it was $8 or $9 million with Tennessee, a nominal fee. And he wound up taking the job. And he soared to great heights last year. But so the continuation this year was like, oh, man, maybe Ryan Tannehill, this is just a real great chapters. Or these are great chapters, not chapter. He comes out, 2 touchdowns, week 1, boom, they win. Next game, boom, 4 touchdowns, they win. All right, a little bit of a blip against the Vikings. They win, didn't play well, but boom, next game, 3 touchdowns. Next game, 4 touchdowns. And then all of a sudden, you know, you had back-to-back the last 2 games he's played. He's been sub-200 yards passing in totality. And it's amazing because he's on pace for 36 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. 36 touchdowns and a mere nominal 5 interceptions. But the yardage, 3,700 yards, which in today's NFL is not much, and more in line with the 90s or even the 80s or maybe even more like the 70s, actually. But
yeah,
I watch Tannehill now, and for somebody who has always supported him, I really did. I didn't know that he would be as good as he was last year, but I didn't think that he was trash, as a lot of people did. I'm now beginning to wonder, I don't want to say if they gave the wrong guy that amount of money.
Yeah.
But he's got to show something because the last few weeks he has not looked good.
It's all about the supporting staff too, BT. Let's not forget, and you mentioned this a couple of times 2 weeks ago, Taylor Wan is out. I mean, he's down with an ACL injury.
And that's where really this swoon coincides.
That's exactly where it coincided, BT. They're offensively, I think he's thrown for 200 yards, under 200 yards.
Last two games, back-to-back, under 200 yards.
Yeah, right? So it's just, and that's because the completions aren't there. The time isn't there. The running game hasn't been as stout as it historically has been with Derrick Henry. Now, it's kind of new with Derrick Henry being the guy for the whole season. Mm. Let's not forget, like last year, he was kind of like, he was the starter, but he was like the part-time starter.
Yep.
You remember? Like Deion Lewis was changing, switching in and out. I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing?
I don't know.
And then they went to the postseason, or got close to the postseason. They started feeding the big man, and he started taking over. But you lose a key offensive lineman. The pressure picks up. Your clock picks up. And Ryan Tannehill turns average again. And that's what you're fighting. The other thing is that it's simple. Right, what they do is not complicated. It's not like all these pre-snap motions and, you know, these things that conflict you and make you, you know, make a decision or declare what you're trying to do so he can see it. It's really just line up, you know, run the ball. Let's do some play action and push the ball down the field. Otherwise, you got to, it's just execution, a simple offense. And that's not really hard to or complicated to figure out.
Yep. Now, this is why you have to watch the games, because as much as we're lamenting the recent play of Ryan Tannehill, Hollywood Brown also dropped a 65-yard touchdown that was dumped in his hands. That would change the stats, would change the performance in terms of who won the game. You know, so you have to be fair.
You mean A.J. Brown.
Pardon me, A.J. Brown, correct. You have to be fair to Ryan Tannehill. I do think that I'm deep enough into the season, and I've watched enough of both of these teams to really believe that neither will have much of an influence when it's time to really see who's going to the Super Bowl.
I agree.
I don't see it. You don't either.
Tennessee's defense has gotten so bad, BT. Remember last year they were – they weren't great last year, but they were stout. Like they were smart. They didn't give up a ton of big plays. Mm-hmm. When they needed to, like, crunch, when the field got short, they crunched down. You're kicking field goals, and you're having these ugly games that you could win – meaning Tennessee, could win because you had a better run game. You could shorten the game. You know what I mean? You could do all those things.
Uh-huh.
This year, they're one of the worst teams in third down in the NFL. I think it's 51% they're giving up on third down, which is...
Where do you want to be? What's a healthy number from a defensive
for a defense? You want to be probably 28 to 30 or so like that. They're 51%.
Yikes.
They're giving up on third down.
It's kind of like the Cardinals on that opening drive last
night. That's exactly
Seattle,
right.
Just third down.
And so when their defense isn't handling their part of the equation, because we talk about this all the time. We actually laud this Tennessee team and the way that they play. It's old school. Play good defense, run the football, play action pass, win old school, right? When one side doesn't hold up the bargain, and right now the defense isn't, it gets you can't win. Right, because you're not prolific enough as an offense to come back and win games.
That's a great point.
That you're behind in. You know what I mean? So
I do.
They have to be symbiotic, and if they're not, it falls apart quickly.
Yeah, and maybe this is unfair to their roster, but I'm almost starting to get the impression, like, if they weren't so well coached.
Yeah,
like Vrabel's a terrific coach.
Yeah,
and Arthur Smith's going to be a head coach very soon.
I think you're right.
They might. Maybe they're an 8-8 team.
Maybe.
I mean, really, when you look at Tennessee, and maybe they'll ultimately be 8-8. I probably like the Ravens this week. We'll see. Maybe it's in sharp tyranny. Maybe not. I probably like the Ravens. And if the Ravens win, I don't know if I love the Ravens, but I think I like the Ravens.
Yeah.
If the Ravens win, suddenly Tennessee 6-4 after an undefeated start. I mean, this swoon all started when they lost to the Steelers, and they didn't start that game well. That's one of the few games where they fell behind big, and they actually came back in that game. Remember that? They made it a little dicey, a little sweaty at the end. So, I'm going to ask you the question. Did they prematurely pay Ryan Tannehill, or did they give him too much money?
No, I think they gave him – I mean, they didn't break the bank. You know, it's not like he's making $30 million a year.
It's pretty close. What's he getting paid?
20. I was looking at this earlier today. I want to say it's 26 or something like that. It's not.
When is it? When can you get out of it?
I'd have to look. I don't remember.
3 years.
Yeah, probably.
I think it is.
I think you might be right about that, BT. And I'll look it up. But did they prematurely pay him? No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that you had to pay Ryan Tannehill the money because he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. His cap number this year is only 22. $22 million. He signed a deal, contract value. That's over the course of his career. I don't know his current contract. No, 4 years, $118 million. Years, $118 million. It's out after 21. They can get out after 21.
After next season, they can.
After 21, they can get out of it.
Not terrible then.
No.
And I'm not even saying that I want them to, but
no guaranteed salary in 22.
Oh, wow.
So that's
a hell of a deal then. That's a worthwhile deal. Got it. And the other thing, too, about the pressure or who needs to perform better in this game, it's got to be Tannehill, because you can still say, hey, listen, Lamar's young.
Yeah, he's 25 years old, 26 years old. Yeah, exactly.
Lamar's not 26, is he?
I don't think he's much older than that, dude.
I think he's younger than that.
Let's
Lamar?
Check. He's not old. I know that.
No,
much.
I think he's younger than 26. I'm agreeing with you. I think he's
younger. You're right. You're right, BT. He's 24?
23.
Yeah.
So he's got some space to grow and mature, and we think that he will. Won the MVP a year ago. You know, eventually he needs to slay these demons, and he needs to slay these playoff demons and these big game demons.
Yep.
And hopefully he will. I'm not fully convinced that he will. I need to see a more refined thrower, frankly.
I was impressed by the win against the Colts, and I remember saying this 2 weeks ago, BT, or a week ago, I should say, because it was the first game that he'd won when trailing at halftime.
That was one of the things he needed to select.
That's right.
I think he was 0-6 or 0-9. Yep. 0-9, I think it was.
Well, no, I think the team was over the last 2 years, but he himself was 0-6.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, he's now 1-6 when trailing at halftime, which is a big deal. I mean, to be an elite quarterback, to be a championship quarterback in the NFL, just go ask Pat Mahomes. You got to be able to be down and sometimes down big and bring your team back. And he just hasn't been able to do that. And now he started to do that, but are we convinced that he's going to do that regularly?
I'm not. I'm hopeful. No. I'm hopeful more than I am optimistic. That's kind of splitting hairs. Like, to say that I'm optimistic, that implies that I ultimately believe that he will.
Yeah, that means
I'm going to stop short of that.
Yeah, it means you see it on a regular basis.
I'm saying I'm hopeful because I love what he brings to the table.
Agreed.
And I want to see him evolve. He's great for the NFL. I'm more hopeful than actually believe that it will happen. I'm not saying it won't. But I wouldn't bet money on it that it does. And I don't know. It's one of these games here where, you know, it's just you got to – and I keep looking at Tennessee more than I do the Ravens. They've really disappointed the last – I mean, you're 5-0 at one point. You're 5-0, and you've just completely lost your way. And
yeah, I remember looking at that Tennessee-Pittsburgh game as, like, one of the games of the year.
It was. It was on CBS. It was certainly, you know, rightfully touted as the game of the year up until that point.
And actually kind of lived up to it because
Tennessee made
it a game. But since that point, the Steelers have continued their undefeated ways, and the Tennessee Titans have lost 3 or 4.
You worried about the Steelers? I know that Tomlin addressed this as a trap.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not at all. Not at all.
I think
they destroy the Jacksonville Jaguars. I do. Now, the kid Luton played pretty good.
He's not bad.
I know. He's not bad at all. Like, it's not like the future. Oh,
no,
they found their
not?
Future.
What if there were guys saying this 20 years ago about Tom Brady?
Yeah.
He's not bad filling in for Drew Bledsoe, but he's got no future. Look at him.
Let's not forget, though.
You never know.
People forget this, BT, and it's such a disservice to the New England Patriots and how they were constructed. They were in the Super Bowl the year before. Drew Bledsoe took them to the Super Bowl. Let's not forget that. So it's not like Tom Brady inherited this horrible team. They had a great roster and a great coach, and at least a perfectly fit roster for the coach. So Tom Brady was in the right place at the right time. He took advantage of it. I'm not discounting any of his success.
Yeah,
but let's not forget what preceded him. Jacksonville's not getting it. Doesn't have that.
I hear you. By the way, Drew Brees officially on IR. He's out at least 3 weeks.
Wow.
So maybe you're going to have to see some Jameis. Wow. It's, you know, at least three. We'll
that
see.
Makes it even more interesting.
It does. It certainly does. We got a big hour coming up. The Warriors catching some heat. We'll tell you why. Sharp Tierney and our whip around as well. Busy Friday rolls on. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.